So welcome, everybody. I'm using the chat that's in the computer. I think everyone might be able to see that except Peter. I'm not sure if you're just on your phone or not. So I can, if you need me to, I can just share the question with you if you can't see it. So welcome to our final conference call. Wow, I can't believe how, feels like it, just yesterday was March and now we're like at the end of the third week of April. So this is the last call for SB 101, Find and Keep Volunteers. And I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwamundun First Nation and Ton Kwachin Council. So as I was saying, this is Spider's last learning event, and then Spider will have earned his certificate in Northern Recreation Management. So that's exciting. And Peter, yourself, and Anne and David have this learning event and one more to go, and then you guys will be at the same point as where Spider's just about at. So pretty exciting for everybody. It's fun to see how things go and how the cycle flows. So last week, what we did is we explored the value of volunteers in today's society. And you learned a bit more about what motivates a couple of your local volunteers. And I really enjoyed reading them, so thanks for sharing. One of the things, or a couple of things that stood out for me is the differences between ages. So Stephanie, yourself, and Peter, and Anne, I believe, all had volunteers of two different ages, sort of age stages, I guess, or stages in life. And it really struck me that older adults might have a clearer picture of how they want to volunteer and when they want to volunteer, while younger adults might be more inclined to try out a variety of shorter-term volunteer activities, but try a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this, sort of like testing the waters and see what they like. So despite those differences, it sounded like all your volunteers looked for social benefits from volunteering and also opportunities to do something meaningful, whether it's for themselves or for their community and people around them. So this week, we're digging into some of the strategies that you can use or you might want to use, because you don't want to use every single strategy, but there might be some strategies that stand out for you to help you find and keep volunteers. And so when you think about the different steps and strategies, please remember that each of your communities, each of your organizations, your groups, and even your volunteers that you talk to are different. And so the priorities that you're going to identify for engaging volunteers might not be the same as what somebody else does. So Spider and Yellowknife with a mandate to develop volunteers across NWT might have different strategies than what, Stephanie, you have with people that you already know in your community. So there are some differences behind how we can approach this. So this week's RLA, which I want to make sure I touch on before Spider and Peter have to leave, will ask you to develop a little bit of a volunteer engagement plan, but it only asks you to identify your top strategies. You don't have to do something for every single way you can engage volunteers. So let's do a round of introductions to start off. I see that Anne dropped the call, so we'll have Spider, Stephanie, and Peter. And this is National Volunteer Week, so I just am curious, I don't know if anyone posted for National Volunteer Week, but if you did do a post, what would be a hashtag that you might use to celebrate your volunteers? So Spider, I'm going to ask you to go first after I give you a couple of examples, so I'll give you a moment to think about it. Then we'll go to Stephanie and then to Peter. So let me pop this in the chat. So my question is, I think we all know each other, so just briefly introduce yourself if you feel like you need to. If not, go ahead. And what is a hashtag you might use to celebrate your volunteers? So I've got two. I'll put them in the chat so that you can see them. I thought either, I really like volunteers make a difference, but I think that's a very well used. And then the other one that I came up with this morning is volunteering is community. Because this week's the theme for National Volunteer Week is about weaving and blending and building communities. So those are my two. So Spider, how about yourself? I don't think you need to introduce yourself because we're all here, unless you feel like you need to. But what would be a hashtag you might use to celebrate your volunteers?
I might use finding pride in volunteering.
Ooh, that's nice. Just going to write it down because I think these are neat. Thank you. And Spider's joining us from, oh, you're back at, you're in Vernon, that's right. You've been all over the place.
Nice, but I'm in Vernon.
Okay, thanks. And you'll be driving through Enterprise when you go home.
Drive by Enterprise on the way home.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Spider. Over to you, Stephanie, if you wanted to quickly introduce yourself or and share a hashtag that you might use for celebrating your volunteers.
Hi, my name is Stephanie. I think I know everybody. I would go with love of volunteering, because with volunteering, I find that when you love a certain kind of any kind of hobbies or interests or anything, then you tend to get share your time or your extra time to volunteer. And then when you have younger kids or younger generations that are interested in something that you're already interested in, you're volunteering your time, then you express the love for what you have, and that's the commonality between yourself and the younger generation. Then you kind of share your love for what you love, and then the little kid is like, hey, that's really cool. And then who knows, one day they're going to become a great hockey player or something that you had a little bit of something to do with to introduce that, you know, that love of volunteering.
Awesome. Thank you. So there's something that you can use in some of your social media, too. And how about you, Peter? Does anything come to mind for a hashtag you might use for National Volunteer Week or to celebrate your volunteers?
I feel like I would say something along the lines of, like find your passion or find your purpose or find your people, because volunteering is a great way to sort of give back, but also to sort of try new things that you might not be comfortable with without having the huge commitment of being an organizer or like having to run everything.
I like that. Find your passion, find your purpose, find your people. I tend to like things that start with similar letters. So that might be a great strategy for recruiting people for our PACE board or for ringleaders too. So keep those in mind. I'm putting them in the chat so that we don't forget them. Thank you. Well, thanks everyone. I don't see Anne having rejoined the call, so we'll just keep rolling here. Let's take a look if you have them open on your computer or if you've looked at them at some of this week's slides. So the presentation for this learning event. So we first delivered this learning event back in 2017, and there was this big focus on recruiting, retaining, and recognizing volunteers. And it was sort of like a process that we've used, it feels like, for, you know, 20, 30 years. And it seems like even though we used that process, nothing has really changed. So because the world has changed around us so much since 2017, you know, we're trying to recover from a COVID-19 pandemic that changed a lot of the ways people interact and engage in society. So what I try and do with this learning event in particular is do a bit of research to make sure that some of the topics and trends are current. I do it for most of the learning events, but this one I think is particularly important because of the changes around us. So the research that I've done or the sites that I've looked at or what I've read about volunteering has led me to realize that as recreation leaders, we really need to think about volunteering differently. We have this old hat on from thinking about how, you know, volunteering from, you know, it's kind of set up in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. But, you know, with the advent of social media, which is something that we've discussed, I think that we really have to rethink how we think volunteering. So instead of starting with finding volunteers, we start with, as the five steps on slide 20 show, with valuing volunteers. And we can't do a lot with volunteers if we don't actually value them and our organization or our environment doesn't value them. And then we move on to programming for volunteers. And then once we have those two pieces in place, we can work on finding, keeping, and celebrating volunteers, which is something you're probably a bit more familiar with. So I'd like to reflect on the steps to engage volunteers that are shown on slide 20. And I have a question kind of about each step. So what we'll do is we're going to work through these, and I'll just keep my eye on the time so that just before 10:30, I might stop the conversation, provide a couple of final thoughts, and then come back for the conversation for whoever can stay on after 10:30. Hello, David. Nice to see you in the sunshine. So if you happen to have
I've got a camera today.
I see that. If you happen to have the slides open in front of you then, let's start with slide 20. So what I'd like to ask you, it shows that we go from valuing volunteers to programming to finding to keeping to celebrating. So if you think of valuing volunteers as shown on slide 21, what makes this valuing volunteers? Why is this a really important first step? And possibly the most important step to start with when we're looking at trying to engage, keep, recruit, and celebrate volunteers. So, Spider, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to put you on the spot first, and then next time we'll start with Stephanie first and go from there. So here's my question in the chat. So the question is, what makes valuing volunteers the first and possibly most important step? So any thoughts about that, Spider?
Yeah, I think, the basic premise is that if we don't value the volunteers, then, when it comes down to, engaging and celebrating them is just lip service. And people see through that very quickly. We have to have a strong premise of valuing volunteers, have that show in everything that we do. It needs to be meaningful and impactful. And if people don't see that, they don't engage with that, they don't connect with that, then we're going to have a tough time getting the tasks done that we need volunteers to do.
Yeah, and I think that showing that you value volunteers comes through in more ways than what you do with volunteers. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it comes through in everything that your organization does and says and puts out there. So really important. Thank you, Spider. Stephanie, for yourself, what makes valuing volunteers the first and possibly the most important step?
I think it's kind of like, as a leader, if I want to promote any kind of event and I have a volunteer or volunteers that would like to help out with this event, the valuing in that volunteer would show that, hey, they feel important and they feel special. They have that positive energy, have self-worth. So in turn, when they're helping other participants or youth or anyone around them, they're going to express the same kind of, emanation of positivity and that strength and that value. So that value that I invest in my one volunteer will in turn express the same kind of feeling to other residents or other participants and kind of like spreading the love kind of thing. That's how I feel about it.
Great. Thanks, Stephanie. And Peter, how about yourself? What makes valuing volunteers the first and possibly most important step in the five steps shown on slide 20?
Well, what comes to mind for me is just, you need to value volunteers. You want them to come back, right? Like, you want them to... I think you want volunteers to be happy and content with volunteering because they obviously, they impact the environment of the program that you're running or the organization, the community, and you also want to increase your volunteer retention. You want them to come back and have a good time so that they want to participate again. I don't really know.
Yeah, I guess similar to what Stephanie's saying and what Spider's saying, that the acts or the what people see that demonstrates those values sort of permeates everything that you do and makes them feel like this is a welcoming, positive environment. Or as Spider said, if they don't get that feeling and you're just doing lip service, then that's, you know, they're not going to get that sense from you. So it has to permeate or weave through everything that you do, I think.
Yeah,
David, how about, oh, sorry, go ahead, Peter.
Well, I was just going to say briefly, like, if they're not really, you're not compensating them with money, but they might be valued. If they feel like they are valued, it makes a difference. Like, it feels like they feel like their work is worth something, you know? Like, they're making a difference to the group. Anyway,
Thank you. And Spiders just popped in the chat, need to express to volunteers in as many ways as possible that you matter, you're important, you belong. Thanks, Spider. I like that. That goes along with Peter's hashtags as well. So a couple of really good messages. David, how about yourself? What makes valuing volunteers the first and possibly most important step?
Thank you, and I'm sorry for being late, David. You elder active Whitehorse program coordinator. Ownership is the first thing that I like to think about when I talk about volunteers, because technically it is their ownership at whatever $2 billion of GDP work that's done. They're saving the organization money, but they're also taking on responsibilities and expressing the organization. So by showing them value, by giving them ownership, by showing that the work that they're doing is highly regarded, then not only are we saving the organization money, but we're contributing to the overall satisfaction of the community economics.
Yeah, that's great. So really, there's multiple benefits, if you want to put it that way, to engaging volunteers, whether it's economic or benefits for the volunteers or benefits for your community. So just coming back to that, Anne, I noticed that you're going in and out of the call. I just sent you a text that you can just phone the phone number. You don't have to use your computer for the call. You're welcome to join. Peter's just on his phone, so you can just join by phone and ditch the computer if it's not working. I know the internet's kind of bad out our way today. So I think that valuing volunteers, as you've all said, you know, we really need people to have that sense. But I think also where it starts is it starts with the leadership of your own organization. So, Stephanie, you might value volunteers. You work in a municipal setting with a hamlet. But if your SAO, your mayor and council don't value volunteers, that sense that they're not valued is going to come through regardless of what you do or say. So I think that there's a step back that we have to take, and David, you kind of just alluded to it as well by explaining the different benefits. I think we need to have conversations with everybody in an organization about the value that volunteers brings to your organization, as David pointed out, but also to the greater society. And so that when everybody is on board, it's like that having that culture in your organization that believes strongly in values and volunteering, and then it permeates it. So then when the mayor, Stephanie, I don't know your mayor and council, so sorry, but I just think of a municipal structure as kind of a logical one where it's possible that somebody might think, oh, those, you know, they don't need to do that, or it's not important, or maybe they don't recognize the value of it. And you might be doing everything you can to value your volunteers. So it is really important to have that support throughout the organization so that your whole organization values volunteers. Does that make sense? If you're on the screen, you can put your thumbs up or you can ask a question. But that's kind of what I was thinking. Hi, Juliana. We're just partway through our call, so welcome.
I'm sorry for being so late.
That's okay. We're having a flexible call today because a few people have to leave early. So we're just kind of going with the flow today. So Thanks for joining. So the next step that's shown is on slide 20, but also described a little bit more is on slide 22. And I called it Program for Volunteers. And this took me a lot to sort of when I did my research to wrap my head around this. And I know I mentioned it last week, and you might have kind of gone, what does she mean, Program for Volunteers? So I'm going to ask you first, what does Program for Volunteers mean? And if you have an example of how you do it, maybe you can share it. So Stephanie, let me pop that question in the chat, and I'm going to ask you to jump in first rather than putting Spider on the spot. So just take a couple of seconds to think about your answer, and then maybe in about 30 seconds or less, let me know or let the rest of the group know, what does it mean to you when I say Program for Volunteers? And if you have an example of how you do that, maybe you can share it. So we'll go Stephanie, Peter, David, Juliana, and Spider. So over to you, Stephanie.
Okay. For instance, my regular volunteers that usually volunteer with any kind of events or activities, I have an idea of what kind of stuff that they like. However, when we do have a volunteer meeting before an event, something I like to ask all those volunteers is what are you interested in the event? Like, what would you like to do? So in a way, I guess, getting to know my volunteers. And it usually is the same volunteers with the same kind of event. I'm trying to get the gist of the question.
Well, and it's probably quite different for you in a small community as well. So tell you what, let's hear from everyone else, and I'll come back to you and see if you have anything to add to that. Because from my experience living in, and working in small communities, I would think it'd be quite different to what Spider's experience might be, or David's, for example. So we'll hear from them first, and then I'll come back to you. So, Peter, if you can weigh in on what does that term that I keep using, Program for Volunteers, maybe mean to you?
I kind of think of it as a way of, like, building confidence and skill in your volunteers, as well as, like, even assessing their current abilities. I can see on the slide, like, you can also just promote them for as part of, like, regular recreation programs. Volunteer opportunities. But I definitely think, for volunteers, it's just a way of making the experience sort of enriching for them, I guess. And they're getting sort of more out of the volunteering, that they're offering to do.
Absolutely. So that's one way to explain it, right? So when we program for participants, they expect to get something out of that program experience. They expect to get skills or social connections or learn new things or meet new people or things like that. So they're looking for something out of it. So if we program for volunteers, maybe we make sure that they're getting what they're looking for out of it as well. So thanks. That's a good way of putting it. Thanks, Peter. David, I know your organization works with a lot of volunteers, so I'd love to hear from you. What does Program for Volunteers mean to you?
For me, it means listening to what it is that they want to accomplish and what they're willing to bring to the organization. So if they want to see a specific type of program for the membership that they're willing to facilitate, or they want to gain an additional skill so that they can further contribute to the organization, then I would encourage that. I would have a degree of budget set aside for development of volunteers so that if they need their first aid or they need a specific skill set that they feel that they want to do or is qualified to do to a degree but want further training, then help facilitate them on that. if they want a specific recreation type, help them facilitate the opportunity to bring that to the organization. So it really means listening to the volunteer and what it is that they think they can contribute to the organization.
Yeah, and I think the one thing I just wanted to draw on that you said that really stood out for me is work it into your budget, right? So not just if we're going to have volunteers, so it's going to save us money. We're going to have spend money so that we have volunteers that are skilled, passionate, interested, committed. So perhaps having a budget, we often talk about budgets for volunteer recognition, but we don't so often talk about budgets for volunteer training. So great point. Thank you. Juliana, how about yourself? If you hear me say program for volunteers, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think they have mentioned that, but what I would like to express, but is like you're saying in one of the slides, like when you treat them as people that you need to do program for as a client, they are not just they cannot just come to your mind and know what you want to do or how you want to do what they want to get for it. It needs to be prepared. Also, you need to have a plan. You need to have a program for them as well.
Wow, thank you for that. And I know I'm just looking at the time. I know Spider and Peter, you guys need to leave pretty soon. So I'm just going to ask Spider for you to weigh in, and then I'm just going to jump to the end of the call and then come back to where we're at. So, Spider, what does program for volunteers mean to you?
If we can learn their needs, and then see if what we want done can somehow be aligned to their needs and wants. You know, recognizing we've got an agenda, but they've got an agenda too, and where does it overlap?
Yeah, and I take that one step further. I suggest that volunteers should be one of your target groups that you're programming for in recreation. So not the volunteers you already have, but the volunteers that you're trying to attract or look for. So if you better understand them as a target population the same way as you would understand your older adults or your children or your families, if you look for those characteristics and stuff and try and think of them as potential clients, potential participants that you haven't even attracted yet, and what would they be looking for in your programs if you wanted to bring them in to your programming. So that's kind of how I also think about it. Stephanie, is there anything else before I just jump ahead and then come back? Is there anything else that came to mind for you while we were talking?
I guess we try to encourage volunteers and listen to them and see what their needs are and our needs and how we can meet halfway and both parties will be satisfied. And I guess my small question is kind of related but unrelated is, okay, if I have a volunteer who wants to volunteer, whatever I've got going, however, it takes a lot more work to have the volunteer help me. If you get my drift, I'm thinking of someone. That person wanted to do some
Can we hold that question because you're coming up to my next question for you? It's a perfect, I hear where you're going. You've got a challenge. And my next question is, what is a challenge you've experienced? So hold that thought and we'll come back to you right away with that question and maybe jot it down if you have a piece of paper. I started writing it, but, good question. So hold on to that thought. I'm just going to jump to what I had written for the end of the call for Spider and Peter because I know you guys need to go. You have other things on the go. So I wanted to just mention about this week's required learning activity. It's due on Sunday. If you haven't done the one from last week, please jump in and look at that one too. And the RLA for this week is going to ask you to identify your top priorities for engaging volunteers. There's a template there. please make sure that you're just looking for your high level or top priorities. You don't have to fill in the template for your medium and your low priorities as well. So in other words, if you only have one top priority, might not be quite enough, but if you have like five or more, that's too many. So don't look at the template and go, oh my God, what do I have to do? Look at it and know that you have to prioritize and you're only working on 2 to 4 of your top priorities. So hopefully that makes sense. The other thing I was going to suggest, and I know neither Anne nor Deanne are on the call, but if you work in the same organization, or like with Spider and Deanne who work around the same sport, you're welcome to actually work on this required learning activity together. So if you do that, just let me know that you're going to work on it together. Do one as a team and put both of your names on it. So I just wanted to let you know that. So Spider and Peter, I'm going to carry on with the call. If and when you need to go, just feel free to sign off.
That's the place. Thank you very much, Rowan, and thank you very much, Caroline, for your expert leadership and engagement throughout the entire process. And I'll work to get the my final assignment in. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Spider. Make sure when you get your certificate, you send us a picture.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
Thank you for coming.
No worries. We'll see you at 3-ish, right, Peter?
Yeah, I have the video on my computer and everything, so.
Perfect. Okay, see you later then.
Bye.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back to Stephanie, your thought there. So I think your thought, my question to the rest of you on the call is, what is one challenge you've experienced around finding or keeping volunteers? So I think that relates to your question, right, Stephanie? So do you mind jumping back in? And again, my apologies for interrupting.
No worries. I do have like a person who loves to volunteer. However, I feel like I'm putting extra more time helping this person to volunteer. And I guess the difficult part is how to tell that volunteer no without hurting that person's feelings, because from the easiest, the nicest way possible that I can tell this person, you know, like, I know you're trying to help, but I don't have the time to help you help me, kind of thing. And this person is taking it personally, like, to the point where this person is kind of, like, going around me and talking to other people besides me about programming and helping. So in a way, like, I don't know how to deal with this situation, you know, like, because I'm having other people come to me and saying, how come this person's saying you don't need her help in this and that? I'm like, well, I don't need to explain myself over and over to each person that comes to me, because, you know, like, how can I communicate in a way that, like, not to hurt this volunteer's feelings? Because this volunteer still helps out. However, I find she is not, like, really as open and as, she doesn't really approach me as often and talk to me as often. So I guess that's one of my areas. I want to keep her. She's a wonderful person. However, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what to do.
You know what? I suspect David works with Elder Active Recreation Association. And how many volunteers do you guys have?
Not enough. And that's a challenge that I'm having to work with right now. And it really varies throughout the year based on the program or elements. So I would like to maintain a lot more volunteers, but that's not my challenge. Stephanie, I appreciate your challenge. Just openness. I find when a person has a challenge with opening up to me, I have to be more open to them. I have to be more inviting to them. And it's not your problem. But the more open you can be, the easier it becomes for them to be open. And if you feel that you're not receiving enough openness from them, then maybe greater openness to them might bring them out. I don't know, but I appreciate your problem.
David, you guys must have volunteers, though, that are challenging, right? Kind of like what Stephanie's describing, because among older adults and seniors and elders, oh, my God. Like, so do you have an actual experience that's similar or that you can relate to from what Stephanie's describing?
With Elder Active, no. With other organizations I've worked with, yes. And, you know, they see the world a certain way. And they think that the way they see the world is the way that you want their volunteering to proceed or how they will deal with other things. And this goes back to just being open and letting them know these are our parameters. This is the, you know, I mean, we want to be inclusive. We want to be respectful, you know, these type of things. And we want them to exhibit that. So, and I'm not going to use a direct example because I kind of let those go. I would say my greatest challenge is, right now, getting more volunteers, I've met with them. I'm trying to say this is the direction we want to go, get their input, work with their input, but then scheduling them, because with HR, scheduling is the big thing. They're available to do it on Tuesday, but you need them on Wednesday. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay, so,
right?
So let's come back to scheduling and openness. Those are two sort of responses to challenges. I just want to go to stay on the topic of challenges, and then we're going to come back and what are some of the strategies that we can use. Because I think all of our brains together are better than our brains individually. So maybe we can help David with some suggestions and Stephanie with some suggestions. But I'd like to hear from Juliana to know, do you have any challenges, Juliana, that you've experienced around volunteers?
I was thinking a little bit about, for sure, in a small community, you have pretty much like recurring volunteers. Same people, they used to do things as they have mentioned in a specific way, and they want to keep some things that are not working anymore, some things we cannot keep doing, things that we did in the past we cannot keep doing. But so it's hard to try to get a different mindset to try to address some of the things that are not working anymore. And for us, we had in our community, we have some people coming from outside, and they want to volunteer and they want to completely change everything. They come with lots of ideas that worked in big cities where they were from, and we need to try to help slow down and make a balance between same old thing from the recurring volunteers and completely changing everything with the new ones. So mostly is what we have seen.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's a couple of things, but mostly what I heard you say is around that mindset, right? So we've always done it this way is what you get in a small community especially, or this has always worked for us and now we're in your community and we think it should work. So that mindset is a huge challenge. So thanks for pointing that out, Juliana. So if we think of these challenges, David's mentioned sort of getting enough volunteers and having them when you need them. Juliana's mentioned the mindset, and Stephanie, I think what you've mentioned is that draw on your time that volunteers take, especially not all of them, but there's some that are more, I don't want to be critical, but maybe more needy than others. And you know, might take time that, you know, you're filling two positions as one of you. So there's only so much time to go around. So let's go backwards around our circle. I'm going to start with Juliana first. And my question is, what are some strategies that we could use to address these challenges? And you can come up with strategies that are for a certain person's challenge, or just strategies in general, like David mentioned, openness and open communication. So, Juliana, maybe we can start with you. What are some strategies, or a strategy, that you think can address some of the challenges that you guys have shared?
I'm trying to think about something here. For sure, trying to listen to everybody's important, but I'm trying to see how is it something that we're trying to find out for the best.
Yeah.
In the 2 years, how to balance this. It's been, we're trying to have an open conversation to listen to everybody, but it seems like when we're at the point of the planning, it seems like everybody's open. When we are sharing ideas, when we're doing sessions to plan, we are talking about everything. We just did this, for example, for our spring festival now. We had like 4 sessions, but then when we shared with everybody what we're going to do, we came to an agreement. We always had some more people that would come at the end, like, oh, no, that's not going to work. And then it goes on Facebook like all the time. So we're still trying to see how to address this. I'm going to hear more of
Okay, well, we're going to go backwards. So there's another sort of thing. So what do you do if you think all your volunteers are all on board, and then, you know, you actually say, well, we've met several times. This is what we've agreed to do. And then all of a sudden somebody didn't like it. And I never said that. So, yeah. David, go ahead, Juliana. Was that kind of, did I capture it?
No, sorry. It's been a really issue, not just with volunteers and staff. It seems like planning sessions, like, well, we should record it because it sounds like perfect, even when we put on paper. But at the end, it seems like during the meeting, people, they're excited with implementing the things, but at the end, they want just the same thing.
Right, so they revert to what they know. That's that, I guess that mindset comes back in, so. Yeah, thank you. David, any thoughts on any of the challenges that were shared either by yourself, by Juliana, or by Stephanie, and some strategies that might work to actually address them?
Well, under strategies, and I like your slide number 26, because it outlines the steps that I'm currently engaged in, okay? We are currently looking for ambassadors. So we did the assessment. What is it we need? We need ambassadors. That's number 2. Then I put out a basic call. We got a couple of bites. Then I went out and scheduled an interview application process. There we had a half a dozen bites. Then I provided references. What material do they want? Not what I need, but what they want to help them do their job. The police record checks is something very simple. The orientation and training is currently what is on the palette, on the slate for moving forward. Then finally, step 9 and 10, my plan is to be there in person to be supportive of them in this new ambassador role, and to ensure that they're comfortable, they know what's going on, and then again, we'll more or less repeat the process to gain more, but at the same time, understand what we can do to enable that ambassadorship to go forward. So I really like the stages of strategy laid out in slide 26. That's what we're working with. In terms of, you know, again, staffing, getting the people to sign up to fill those blocks of time, that's important. And by being straight up, and this goes back to Stephanie, you know, with allowing them to know that you're only there for a limited time, these are the tasks, but being open, just straight off. These are the tasks. This is when I'm available. We appreciate your volunteerism. What do you need to help you? But I can't be there always for you. So that's that openness that I was talking about, Stephanie. So, yep, there you go. That's real life happening now.
Thanks, David. Can I just ask you, what's your ambassador program? What are you recruiting people to do?
What we have is we have three current programs up at the Canada Games Center, and we're going to be introducing some additional programs. And what we are setting up to do is that one volunteer per week sit, instead of playing the games, sit and meet and greet people who are just wondering, what's going on? How do I get involved? What's it going to cost me? You know, well, today is free. Go for it. Try it out, see if you like it or whatever. But if there's nobody there for that meet and greet role, then a potential future client, future recreational participant, etc., is overlooked. And they won't know what's going on, how to get involved, and they'll walk away. So the ambassador program is to have a meet and greet person ready, willing, and able that follows protocol. In other words, this is how you get involved in this game. You don't take your coffee cup onto the court. These are our hours, you know, basic, but at the same time, standardized, so that the questions have a standardized answer. This is information that came to me by request of the volunteers. If we're going to do this, then we want a booklet that we can follow. We want a policy procedure that we can follow. Okay, fine. That can be done. And that's part of the behind the scenes, but it's also what the volunteer requests. So that goes into the orientation and training section of slide 26, level 8. So
awesome. That's
what's currently going on.
That's great. That's an awesome role to make people feel welcome and very good to place that responsibility on your volunteers. They get to know your organization better, and they're good advocates or, as you said, ambassadors for it. While you were talking, it led me sort of thinking of strengths-based approaches, because that's what you're using, right? A strengths-based approach to supporting your organization through your volunteers. And Stephanie, I wonder if, like David suggested, an open conversation with that person and setting your boundaries, which I think is really, really important. But I also wonder if sitting down with that person, maybe doing that interview from last week, finding out where their strengths and their passions are, and then creating opportunities for them that fit where their strengths are, where they don't need to stop, you know, take your time all the time for learning and stuff like that. And it might not necessarily be things that they always want to do or want to learn, but maybe once a month or once every few months you can spend time sort of training or working with them. But if you can have that open conversation about their strengths and their passions and how that fits with what you do in your organization and how that would be so valuable, you might be able to shift them into this place where they know they've got some really good qualities and skills that they can share. So that's one thought that came to mind. And for Juliana, the similar approach perhaps, if you have a group of people and they're sitting down and you're doing some planning and you agree on things and then they're the ones who walk away and say, I never said that, can you put them in the position of recording the conversation, writing things down on flip charts, sharing, you know, doing a flip chart, we agreed to do this, this, and this, and have them actually physically do it? Because if you put the people that tend to be the ones who walk away and aren't in agreement in the position where they're writing it down, it might reinforce what they're agreeing to. So I don't know if those things are potential strategies. But I think, so we've heard from Juliana, we've heard from David, and I noticed you're on your computer, but I'm not sure if you wanted to jump in or just listen today. So feel free to unmute and share where you're sort of at as far as the call. And then Stephanie, while we're letting Anne unmute, Do you have any other strategies that you think might work for either Juliana, David, or is there something that you've heard? Okay, I just see Anne unmuting. Anne, did you want to jump in, or are you just listening today?
Well, no, I was just going to share a strategy that I participated in that worked really well. It wasn't my strategy, but I liked it. I like to use it. I was just going to share that we participate in the City of Whitehorse Bike Rodeo. We've done it for a couple of years now. We set up a booth for our organization and do some activities and stuff for kids, because the kids say cycling activity for safe, being safe on your bike. And so all the groups kind of agree to participate. They show up. They set up their booth. We do the activity. But then the coordinator for the initiative brings one to the end as volunteers when we're just packing up and stuff. And so we all got to have a snack and just a debrief. And she summarized kind of, well, for next year, let's make these changes so that you sort of do it on the spot while it's still fresh. And then, so this year, when she put the call out, she said, well, we're going to make these changes this year because we thought that would work better for the dance. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of a really summarizing and improving over time. So anyway, I don't know if that was relevant to the conversation, but...
Anything's relevant. Thanks. It's always good to share ideas. So, Stephanie, I'll just come back to you because we reversed our circle order. Have you heard any strategies that you think might work, or can you think of any strategies that would work for Juliana or David in their situation?
I was thinking that before the event or activity, maybe be like task specific, like details on what you would like each person to do or each position. Then when someone is volunteering to say, I want to do this and I want to do that, and have like a little coffee, it doesn't even have to be very long, and I could go over what needs to be done specifically. So then I'm just thinking of this person that who needs a lot of help at this little meet. It could be like, okay, well, I need help over here and over here. There could be another volunteer that says, hey, you know what? And of course, this is after I say, I won't be available for that event in that time period. So maybe another volunteer who's going to be at the event or around can say, hey, you know what? I could help you out with that. So I think that is something that I can possibly do. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of solutions.
Yeah, David just popped in Tara, so I think David might also mean like mentor, put one volunteer with another, and that you can just tell them the benefit is if they have to step out or they, you know, they have an emergency, there's someone else to cover off what they're doing. So there's another strategy. If you're lucky enough to have more than one volunteer. So. Well, thanks everyone. I just wanted to ask you one quick question to wrap up our call. Each of our communities is different. Each of your organizations are different. You know, in the Yukon, we have a volunteer bureau. We're very fortunate to have that. There is not a volunteer bureau in NWT, and there is not a volunteer bureau in Nunavut either. So volunteers in NWT come under MACA, which is the Municipal and Community Affairs. They're responsible for sports, physical activity, recreation, youth, and volunteers. It falls under there. So those are sort of your go-to places, but that also lets us do different things and have access to different resources. So just to wrap up our call on a really positive note, and seeing as it's National Volunteer Week, I'm just wondering what is the best way to recognize and celebrate volunteers in your community or for your organization? So let's go in our reverse order again. So Juliana, I'm going to ask you first. You shared some great examples from Cambridge Bay. What is the best way to recognize and celebrate your volunteers?
I'm trying to change a little bit because lately it's been always with the price and price and price and growth. So we're trying to have some more certificates that is not the same thing, but it feels like they accomplished something. So we're trying to switch from the price.
Yeah.
Or from draws to certificate.
Yeah, so like a certificate for X number of hours or for learning something or doing something or contributing to something?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. David, how about yourself? For your community and or your organization, what would you say is the one, number one best way to recognize and celebrate your volunteers?
Ask them how they'd like to be recognized. Reward them with a reward that they can appreciate. If you give somebody an apple pie and you find out they're allergic to apple, well, that's no good. You know,
great. So,
but at the same time, I like what the City of Whitehorse is doing with their Volunteer of the Year dinner at Kwanlin Dunn. However, I'm slightly disappointed with it as well. While the volunteer is allowed to invite their significant other and a guest from the organization that nominated them, they're excluding the general public. So if a volunteer gets up there and says, well, this is all well, I'm being recognized by my peers, the other people are not having the opportunity to pat that volunteer on the back as well, that maybe a friend might be, maybe this person's a polygamist and has multiple significant others. Who knows? But,
okay.
You know, you get my point.
Yeah, it also, but if they were to invite the general public, it would showcase role models, which, and perhaps provide a better example. So thank you. Okay, Anne, how about you for your organization or your community? What's the best way to recognize and celebrate volunteers?
I can share a couple of ways you've done it before. And it's pretty traditional, just kind of a stupid and sometimes a gift card. To say thank you is always, most people seem to really appreciate that. And then we've got, what I find really interesting is as an organization, we have switched to investing in sort of more higher quality swag for our organization. And so now we actually get lots of organizations hosting events and they want to use that recognize and thank their volunteers. So that's another way to give back to communities and make that hosting for their community. So that's been kind of nice too.
Yeah, and high quality swag like shirts with your logo and things like that that people like to wear because they're comfortable and they fit well and they're, you know, they're good things like that. That's also a great way to promote your organization. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
And just as we wrap up the call, Stephanie, for yourself, what's the best way in your community to recognize and celebrate volunteers?
I always say with volunteers, whenever you can, I know I always do, just give them a great big hug, like during the event, and just show appreciation that, oh, I'm so glad you're here. I need to give you a hug. Thank you so much. You know, like this. And it's something that I always do during the event, after the event. And of course, we always have like hoodies or sweatshirts or gift cards and stuff. But I would say during the event, when I see a happy face and one of my volunteers is like, they're busy. And then if I have a moment, I'll be like, you know what? You deserve a great big hug. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you. And just that little bit, it only takes a few seconds, and it feels great.
That's great. Thank you. And that, I think, is pointed out on slide 25, that it's not just formally recognizing your volunteers, but it's how you appreciate them informally every time that you see them. So thanks for sharing that. I see we're a couple of minutes after the hour, so thanks for sticking with me, everybody. We had Spider and Peter on earlier, but they had to go off somewhere else. So I did mention the required learning activity that's due on Sunday. And I did say that if you'd like to do it with Peter, you can do it together rather than individually. Totally up to you. And Spider, this was his last learning event before he earns his certificate in Northern Recreation Management. And Anne and David and Peter, you guys have just one more learning event to go, and then you will have completed your certificate as well. So joining the ranks. Woohoo! So this wraps up Finding Heat Volunteers. If you get your required learning activity in by Sunday, then you have a break until May 1st, which is when our last learning event, Reporting and Recreation, begins. And I know this is a really busy time of year for a lot of you, so just keep in mind that you do have 2 weeks after the learning event finishes to wrap up your required learning activities. So, you know, if you're busy right now, you can take a couple of weeks to wrap up this one, and you have till almost the end of May to wrap up the next one. So thanks so much. Masicho, merci, guanashish. Have an awesome day and happy 30th birthday to the Recreation and Parks Association of Yukon. And once we get our film posted, the Recreation Effect, I'm going to share it out with everybody in the Recreation North Training Program. So thank you. And David, we'll see you at the celebration tonight. And Juliana, thanks for joining us, and Stephanie too.